Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's a joy tonight to be joined by Jen from the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great, and it's raining, so I'm very good.
It is great for California, isn't it?
It's very good for California. Is it raining where you are?
It's raining where I am, too.
Oh, it's so, you know, it's funny because I'm definitely usually in the grumpy camp when it comes rain, especially when it's cold. You know, I'm a Northeasterner, so I'm used to it rains only when it's warm, usually. In the summertime, it's most of the rain back there. Otherwise, it's snow.
Yes.
But I confess, it's overcast and rainy today, and I'm very happy about it.
Great.
Yep.
You know, and what you're saying to me seems just like awareness practice in the sense that you have that bigger picture of what benefits all.
So true.
Rather
than
I'm wet and I'm cold and I don't like this.
Exactly. I was thinking, oh, got to walk back to my hermitage and I'm going to be wet and dirty. But again, as you say, it's so much bigger than what I want, what's good for me, so much so that I actually can get excited about and be happy about the fact that it's raining, even though it has some repercussions for me that I don't prefer, we could say.
Yes.
Yep.
We can see practice in everything.
That's right.
Great. Jen, I have a question for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are we keeping the doors open?
So far, so good, Michael.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
So what you're referring to is about, oh, what was it, 6 weeks ago now, 2 months maybe? I don't know.
I think
maybe
so.
More than that.
Yep.
We lose track when we're present, don't we?
But
that we realized that the traditional way we support ourselves of workshops and retreats was not, you know, going to work as well during this economic situation, and that the sign-ups had really fallen off. And so we realized we were going to need kind of a different way of going about supporting the organizations financially. And we began the Keep the Doors Open campaign, where we were encouraging folks to participate by giving a monthly contribution. And one of the things I hope we were successful in conveying was what we're asking folks to do is to give a monthly contribution of any size, you know, not the absolute most you can possibly give and still be able to eat, but more just a monthly donation that fits within your budget and expresses for you, you know, the meaning, the importance that practice has in your life. And so we have up to date about $12,000 coming in monthly in pledges, which
right.
is really, I mean, you know, need to stop right there and underline thank you so much to the folks who make up those $12,000. It's really, you know, it's a lot of people. It's hundreds of people.
Yes.
Who joined together to do that. And the figure that we're looking at right now is that it costs about $30,000 a month to support both organizations, Living Compassion and the Zen Center. About $30,000 a month is our basic expenses. That does not include Africa, which we're not including in this number because Africa is mainly supported through people sponsoring children and through the annual bridge walk. So
I see.
That's
yeah.
kind of supported in another way.
Yeah.
So we're about halfway there and optimistic that folks are going to keep, you know, pitching in and that we'll get our monthly expenses covered. So I feel like it's really working.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. That's really fun.
Yeah. One of the things, I don't know if you were headed in this direction, but that's really fun about it is that people are finding all kinds of creative ways to raise money.
Yes.
For the organization. So even a lot of folks are giving what they can monthly, but that they want to be able to contribute more financially, but can't do it, you know, themselves personally. And so there are all kinds of great things that are happening. Actually, the weekend workshop that Sherry just did down in Felton, California, near Santa Cruz, at a retreat center called Namaste, was put on by folks. The folks who own the retreat center are friends of Sherry's, and they donated the space.
Yes.
So that the entire retreat, all the registration pledges, could be a donation to Living Compassion.
Great. Great.
Yeah, and
that's just so wonderful.
Yeah, I think I hear you know firsthand that it was quite a good weekend.
It was a very good weekend, and it's a beautiful space there. And it's a beautiful space, and they share it, and it's clear that they love sharing their space and that they love supporting the work of Practice and Living Compassion. So
yeah.
To me, all of that and Cherry's guidance and all
yeah.
of it really is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's such a win-win.
Yes, yes.
Also in the Santa Cruz area, there's a woman doing a yoga retreat that all the money goes to Africa. Half of it goes to Living Compassion, and half of it goes to another project in Africa. I can't remember. I'm looking right now at where the other project is located, but it's put on by a woman who's part of the Sangha and has been for many years. That's happening. It's a Mother's Day event. That's right. So it's May 10th, and that's happening at the Shakti Yoga Center. And all of these things are actually very soon coming out in an email that we're sending, so people don't have to memorize the dates or times. But so that one's a fun one for people in the Santa Cruz area. Fun day of yoga. And then
yes.
there's one happening in New York City by another fellow who's been part of the Sangha for a while, and he's doing a drumming sort of event. And again, they're donating all the money to, in this case, the work in Africa, in Cantalumba. So that's another one for those folks who are in New York City. And then there's a couple who does an annual fundraiser down in San Diego. They do an annual yard sale, and it's grown into a huge event, and I don't have the date in front of me, but we'll be sure to get it out to people, especially to people who are in the San Diego area. I think it's in May sometime also. But that's turned into it's turned into a kind of an annual thing for them, in the sense that all year round, their friends know about it, they're collecting things, they've got a warehouse where they hold things,
wow.
and it's thousands of dollars that they sell on the day of the yard sale.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes, that is really fun.
It is really
and for
fun.
Me, what's fun about that is they make it really clear that all the money is going to support the Africa Project.
Yep.
And I know for me that a lot of people will pay much more than they would otherwise.
Yeah, in fact,
than they would.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think what they do is they don't price anything.
Yes.
That they tell people what the money's going for, and then just people pay what they pay. And at the end of the day, they've just got wads of cash.
Yep.
And always send us really fun photographs. In fact, that's a bunch of these things are up on our fundraiser page, blog, I guess it is, on our website. So people
yes.
can see it there.
Jen, how do you spell fundraiser?
You spell it without a D.
Oh, no D. So it's fun
uh-huh.
and raising money.
That's right.
Great. Great.
And there's another one happening in the Palo Alto area. A woman who's an artist and part of the Sangha has some beautiful collages that she's created. They're on display at a place called Vino Locale. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's in Palo Alto. Again, it's all going to be on our website and coming out in an email. But the collages are on display most of the month of May, and May 3rd is going to be an art opening for her, you know, an artist reception. And again,
great.
All the proceeds from the art being sold go to Living Compassion.
Great.
So there's just no end to the creativity of our Sangha out there.
Yes. Jen, can I project wildly onto these folks?
Please.
So people get involved with practice,
uh-huh.
and their heart opens, and they see all the wonderful projects, and they want to support that.
Yeah. Yep. So true. And that practice, I project, practice supports people in connecting with the things that their heart loves to do.
Yes.
So things that maybe conditioning wants to talk me out of, you're not good at that, oh, you'll never, what if they say no, I don't want to, it's too hard. But practice supports us in actually doing that. We find out we love doing it. We find out we can be successful, and then we want to do more of it, and there we go.
Yes.
Yep.
Ever-expanding circle.
Ever-expanding circle. Yep.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Jen, thanks so much for sharing all that.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be with you as always.
Okay, great.
Okay. Have a great
Bye.
Show.
Okay, thanks, Jen.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Cherry Huber. Tonight it's a privilege to be joined by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Melinda.
Thank you, Michael. It's very nice to be here.
Great. How are you doing today?
Pardon me?
How are you doing today?
very well. I'm a little bit wet at the moment. I think you and Jen were talking about the incredibly lovely weather we're having here.
Yeah.
And a group of us were out in the garden when it started, and we just kept on gardening for a while. And I had a wonderful time because it's not freezing cold. And, of course, when you're working in the garden, you're working up a little bit of heat.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a little hard afterwards when it's, you start cooling off and you realize your socks are soggy. But, yeah, it's really, really, and, of course, we so, so badly need the rain that,
yes.
That I don't know that anybody's going to complain about it.
Yes, yes, indeed. And for me, it's fun being in a climate where it is often sunshine much of the year to, you know, appreciate the change and the difference and
yes.
what that
yeah.
feels like.
Yeah, because I think we have sort of a reverse from the winter effect that some other parts of the country have. And
yeah.
after 4 or 5 months of completely cloudless, sunny days,
yes.
it's really nice to have something quite different. I'm right
yes.
there with you.
Yes, indeed. Wonderful. Melinda, let me give out the call-in info here.
All righty.
So, phone lines are open here. We have one caller on hold, and the phone number is toll-free. It's 888 for Sangha. That's 888-472-6442. And then you would enter the call ID number for open air, which is 15406. And hit pound, and then you'll be in the queue here. Okay, you ready for the first caller?
Yes.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Melinda and Michael. It's Rebecca from Austin.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey.
How's the weather in Austin?
Oh, it's warm and sunny and beautiful.
Uh-huh.
We had a little bit of a cold snap yesterday. I think it's beautiful, so yeah.
So the country seems to be having all the possibilities of weather today.
I know. I'm so glad y'all got some rain, because I know it's getting very, very scary.
Yes.
Well,
so what's up?
I wanted to call in because I saw something really interesting today, and I want to process it.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little bit of context. I've been having these... looking at death.
Looking at death.
Yes.
Okay.
D-E-A-T-H. And conditioning has just really been at me. You know, at the risk of sounding a little melodramatic, conditioning just really wants me dead. Let's just put
uh-huh.
it that way.
uh-huh. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And so there's, today I was walking along, and I heard the voice that said, I just want to die.
Mm.
And my attention just snapped too, you know, kind of like, mm-hmm. it reminded me of when my dog, like, hears a dog outside bark, his head just snaps to attention, you know?
Yes.
And
yep.
and that was...
Right there with all of his senses, zeroed
yes.
in.
Yes. And so I was just noticing what was going on. And so what I saw was there was this really, what we call some kind of a sensation right in the solar plexus. It
mm-hmm.
all seemed to be going on right there. And I had just previously had a thought about how I don't have enough to do. Like I'm in this job, this part-time job where I have to kind of put in the hours, but I don't really have a lot of work
oh.
to do to keep me busy.
Yes. So you
and
have to kind of twiddle your thumbs looking productive.
Yes. And I feel, you know, it's been just a total, you know, struggle because I feel a little dishonest just sitting there, you know, that I'm paid by the hour and I have to just, you know, I just have to put in the hours. So,
mm-hmm.
So there was that I was feeling like I have to look busy. And then I also had just had a feeling or a thought, I'm not sure which, come through about this relationship that just ended. So there was this feeling like a lack of connection.
A lack of connection.
Yeah, like I used to have this connection and now I don't.
And did it feel like the lack of connection was also in that experience of I've got to look busy?
Well, it's more like that's what I would do with the energy when I didn't have anything real to do. You know, it was like I check my email, I connect. You know, it's like that's where that energy would go if I wasn't busy engaging in work.
Oh, how wonderful to see.
Oh, my God, yes, it's huge.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And so what if I'm understanding you, what you realize partly you are missing in this, the non-relationship, is something to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, boy, that is really an insight that I appreciate having.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But that whole kind of, I'm so sad we broke up in a really different light. It's like, oh, well, maybe I just need something else to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Another space filler.
Yeah.
Or,
well, and you know.
Yeah.
No, I want to hear, or what?
Well, or what would you fill in that blank with? So there you are, you know, there's no relationship to distract you.
Yeah.
And you're sitting at this job that you need to be there to get the hourly wage, but there's not really that much to do.
Yeah. It feels like what came up immediately was I need something to serve.
Uh-huh.
I need some, you know, because all of this right around the death talk, you know, was around, just today anyway, was around, you know, my kids are grown up. You know, it's like nobody needs me.
Uh-huh.
And, or, you know, not in the way they used to when they were little. But
the message that you're getting is, or that you're believing, it sounds like, at least a little bit, is nobody needs me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then maybe, so I might as well die.
Oh, my God. That is so a 2 on the Enneagram. You know, it's just so me. What
two
my
being,
karma
two being
is.
The person whose personality is kind of aimed at the appearance of helping others.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to see that voice of I just want to die.
Yeah.
What I have seen in the past is that it's a very, very short distance from that to I've got to die. I want to die, I must die, you know, sort of thing. And it's just when self-hate takes that. And I got to tell you, today it was much better being the hunter than the hunted. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like not at all falling into the next step of, well, I have to die.
Right, right.
But if this voice comes in that says, I want to die, doesn't have to immediately go to, well, then, how are we going to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, Rebecca, what you might be seeing about nobody needs me.
That's where I was just going back to, too.
Little tiny bit
wow.
of the witness here.
Because even as you're saying that, even as you said that, it just that totally sprung up some emotion that's arising. Again, it feels right in my solar plexus. It just
so... Nobody needs me. There's a huge emotion that mostly registers in the solar plexus.
Yeah, like if I've got to do something. If I'm not doing something.
Aha. Uh-huh. And what might that person need?
Well, she needs a project for one. She, you know, I mean, just physically, there's something really satisfying about physically doing something that mm-hmm. she loves.
So
and,
she needs to do something she loves.
Yeah, and to know that her survival and her worth isn't dependent on it. It's because she wants to. You know, it's like her value, my value.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. That what I'm doing isn't equated with how valuable I am, or vice
yeah.
versa.
Yeah. And I see that these, you know, so much of my life of taking care of people, of being in relationships or whatever, seems to have been kind of assuaging or, is that the word I want? Kind of displacing that fear of being not valuable.
And so that not valuable, that person, that part of you who believes she's not valuable, can keep on believing that as long as the attention keeps going out to what do I have to do? What can I do? How can I be
yeah.
engaged in something?
That is judged worthwhile.
That is judged worthwhile because that part of you who's in there not feeling valuable is feeling, I mean, she's kind of getting the message, isn't she? She ain't worth it.
Yeah, yeah. That she. Let me see if I can. I can feel I'm a little identified right now. I'm so glad I'm going to be able to go back and hear this. But so the part of me that is not feeling valuable kind of has to just feel worthless. But then it seems like there's some other part that gets engaged in life. You know, that gets engaged in doing things that are deemed valuable. You know, taking care of people or doing a meaningful job or whatever.
Yeah. And who's making those determinations? This is valuable and that isn't. Just sitting there not doing anything productive is not valuable. Therefore, you are not valuable unless you're doing something productive.
Yeah, I mean, that just screams conditioning. I'm just trying to see kind of who that really is. I mean, what is that? You know, there's this part of me that is very matter of fact. It's just like a subpersonality that's just kind of like just kind of like a director who doesn't really see a lot of just acts. You know what I mean? Just kind of barks the orders, not in a mean way, but just in a very matter of fact way.
Keeps things moving along.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's who's judging what's valuable and what's not.
Okay, okay.
It's not like she's cruel. It's just more like she's indifferent to the people that are getting hurt, which in a manner of speaking is kind of cruel, I guess.
Uh-huh, yeah. She's indifferent to how people are actually feeling as long as they keep moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would make it pretty uncomfortable to not be moving.
It's like those, and I guess you've not seen these because, you know, you live in a monastery, but there's these commercials on the air where everybody's going through a lunchroom or something, paying with a Visa card, keeps everything moving, and then somebody wants to pay with cash, and the whole thing falls apart, and everybody runs into everybody, and the movement stops, and that's
uh-huh.
what it feels like.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like can't be allowed to happen here, you know?
Yes, and what I'm hearing you say is that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, really shaking things up and giving you some different perspectives on some patterns that
yeah.
you're recognizing.
Well, this is great to see. And, you know, it just makes me say the job that I was really kind of disdainful of, I can now feel a little gratitude for that, you know.
isn't that the way? It's just exactly what I needed in this time of my life for this particular, to get to reveal these processes.
Yeah, exactly.
Never would have seen them if you had a job that was keeping you going all the time.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Very fine.
Well, thank you. This has just been perfect, just what I needed. So
that's
I appreciate
great.
It very much.
Isn't
take care.
Isn't the universe wonderful in that way?
I know. It so is.
Yeah.
Even I got to say this, even traffic was lighter on my drive home because I was like, I think I've got to get home by 7, you know, to I want to make this phone call. And even the traffic was lighter. So, yes, all of the universe was smiling on
this
today.
Yep, it's all for us.
All righty, well, thanks, and y'all have a great night.
Thank you, Rebecca. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Tonight we have the privilege of being joined by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Melinda, we're going to take a quick sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, talk to you again in a minute.
Okay.
The Zen Blues Quartet is a collaborative music project celebrating life and the music of the blues. Good musicians and good friends coming together to make something really beautiful simply because we can. Zen Blues Music. For myself, as a Zen student, I see a direct connection between playing the blues and awareness practice, because for me, both seem to require a willingness to be really present in the moment. Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention.
What a life, what a life, my life, what a life, what a life, what a life.
Please visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
I sure do love it, I sure.
Welcome back to Open Air. Melinda, let me give out the call-in info again.
All righty.
Phone number is toll-free. It's 888-472-6442. That'll get you into the system, and then you punch in the Open Air call ID number, which is 15406#, and we'll get you in the queue here. And, miracle of miracles, we've had several callers pop up.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet from
Hi.
New Hampshire.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say a quick thing that I tried the 800-888 number, and it didn't get me through. So I just, as a FYI, I had to go to the other number.
So we might repeat what the other number is?
Yeah, the one that's on the website.
Yeah. Have you got that right there, Michael?
I do. And I will also work on the toll-free number. The other number is 724-444-7444.
Okay, thanks.
Again, that's
724-444-7444,
and I will work on that toll-free number.
And all the other information is the caller ID is the same thing.
Yes, 15406.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Janet. We could have gone a while without folks being able to call in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that it, or you want to talk about something else?
No. Yeah, I thought I'd just try to call and let you know that you can't call in. I had a reflective listening call before the show tonight, and it was interesting because I was looking at something that I kind of wanted to look at a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I, my days are pretty busy, and one of the, I'm getting messages that, you know, I'm too busy and I'm doing too much. And, you know, I've been pretty good about seeing that most of the time that's not true.
Yes.
And what happened was I decided, in between something that I was just going to sit and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started sitting, you know, a couple of things happened. One was that I noticed, you know, my mind was just so active with planning, you know, all what do I need? I need to get up because I need to be making my lists and, just agitation at just being still.
Yeah, it tells you you're too busy and then you sit down to take a little time out and it keeps making sure that you're very, very busy, at least in your mind.
Yeah, that's, thanks for just saying that because, yeah, that's exactly what happened. And so, but at the same time, I'm noticing, you know, the sunlight coming down and the, you know, colors, and I'm really taking in my environment. You know, so I've got these two things going on kind of simultaneously.
Uh-huh. Busy, busy mind and then complete presence to your environment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So what happened is when I was relating this to my reflective listening partner, what I heard myself saying was, well, that I really, it was like this self-improvement thing. I really need to work on this part of me that always wants to be planning.
Yeah.
And as I kept talking about it, I got really clear that that is such a ploy and that really wasn't true because it was almost like that came full force forward instead of what else was going on, that I was actually able to be totally present and that happens as well, but that's not what my news is going to be. My news is all about my self-improvement program that I need to get on.
Right, and interestingly, the self-improvement is working on the planner, and who else could be doing that but the planner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Right, more planning. Right.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, there you are, attending to your breath, attending to the colors that are coming in, the light of the day, and being just completely present to all of it, including all of that nonsense chatter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it was really, you know, this is another plug for the great thing of reflective listening, too, is because in that 15-minute span that I had to just kind of talk about that, I actually got to see more clearly what had gone on and know that this is something that happens quite a bit. This is a process where that self-improvement comes up in lots of different circumstances. You know, like I'll see something and it's like, okay, well, I'm going to have to work on that or I'm going to have to change that.
Yeah. It's reminded me of that. See if I can catch that wonderful quote, which is 99.9% of what we do is for the self and there isn't one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That self to improve actually doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but it's so hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to remember that.
Yeah.
It's like it just goes so fast to that.
It's like automatic. Zip.
Automatic.
We got to start working on, getting better at or getting over or getting through or whatever it wants us to stay up in our heads ruminating on.
Yeah, and I really like the very first thing that you said because I actually had just sat down to do nothing. You know, so I didn't even get that I was actually doing that, that was actually a good thing.
Yeah.
It was all about what was wrong.
Well, I'm just going to take a little time here and sit down and not be busy. I want to bet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But you actually were because of that. Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, I really was, and I was there to see that I was there. And I was there to see, and then I was there later to see that it was all right.
Yeah.
Which
and that's
was
the best, isn't it?
Which was really, really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that reflective listening. You know, I think we can plug that pretty much all the time because it is, everybody seems to have just extraordinary experiences of being able to see their processes in the process of simply being reflected by a non-judgmental mirror.
Yeah, it's just, there's just so much space there.
Mm, so much space, yeah.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's one other thing that I wanted to bring up that, you know, I've been listening to a lot of the old shows and then just a lot of classes, and I've just been trying to, like, inundate myself with the practice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what's coming up, and I'm going to bet you're going to say it's a projection, because I guess everything is.
You're already saying it's a projection. So
yeah. So it's like I guess I want to own the projection, but I'm just being wowed. It's like, you know, I keep hearing people talking about things, and I'm like, wow, everybody is just, like, getting things. You know, everyone is just, like, it's like everyone's just, like, upping their level or their understanding or,
yeah.
It's just so interesting to watch, and that's my reaction. It's like, wow, I just can't believe this, you know, and that I'm in the company of all these people that are just, like, you know, really doing all this and getting all this and understanding all this.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the other things we often say, in addition to it's a projection, is that doesn't mean it's not true just because it's a projection.
Yes. Can you say more about that?
Just that we project, and sometimes our projections may actually jibe with what's going on out there. And that you are seeing how much deeper people's understanding seems to be becoming, including your own. And, you know, I feel like it's got a lot to do. There's so much available now to be able to immerse yourself. And people are really taking advantage of it, and it really pays off.
Yeah, and you can see it, you can feel it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
we are a community doing that, and it's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so I'm loving that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just loving that, and I want to put that out there because I've been thinking about it in my head, and it's like I just want to put it out.
Yep, right there with you.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was it.
All right. Well, thank you for letting us know about the phone call, and thank you for calling in and talking about what's going on with you.
Thank you. Thank
uh-huh.
you. Okay. Bye, Melinda.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Michael.
Bye, Janet. Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Tonight we have the pleasure of Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Melinda, I'm glad to report that the toll-free number should be all set now.
Oh, very good.
And we have a nice long queue.
Congratulations. That was fast, Michael.
Thank you.
Don't know how you work those little magic tricks, but...
Little magic tricks.
Yep.
Modern technology. Okay, next caller. You are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Melinda. This is Kieran calling.
Hi, Kieran.
Hi.
Hi.
I just... was inspired to call in because the first caller that called in, it's exactly what's going on for me, and I was so grateful that she called. And I thought how courageous of her to do that, and I thought, oh, I better do that. I better call then, too.
Uh-huh. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Appreciating your own courage as you look at that.
Yeah, because actually just before you put me on, I was going to hang up and say, oh, well, the first caller sort of did it, so I can just hang up.
And just think that the first caller now has the support of your speaking about the same kinds of things she's looking at.
Yeah, it was just so beautiful to hear her courage of looking at it, because it's essentially what's going on for me. I broke up with a relationship about 2 weeks ago and have been in quite a lot of pain, and getting to the root of it really is a voice talking about that I'm worthless, seeing that so clearly, and having a lot of compassion for the pain I'm in, because that's a real painful voice.
Yes, Yeah,
it's a very, very empowered story that goes on. It has this whole righteous position about how life is making me worthless.
Life is making you worthless, yeah.
Yeah, that you know, it's a political thing, and it's a feminist thing, and it's a, you know, putting me in a real victim position. But it's an excruciatingly painful story. And it so easily gets a lot of, like, it's just, it's an old story, and it gets airtime a lot.
Yeah.
But this,
you know,
really,
old stories always do, don't they?
God, yeah, hey, that's the thing about old stories.
They just, you know, they have that ability so easily to just take the littlest or the biggest thing and move right into repeating themselves and making themselves believable.
Yes, and it was just so beautiful to have the first caller speak, because it's just so exactly an impersonal movement of conditioning, because it's exactly the same here, because I often have, this is always the place that I too want to die,
mm-hmm.
that there's this, you know, it's always at this place that there's that kind of suicide kind of call around how worthless I am. But what was beautiful also is this time it didn't show up.
Mm.
This time there was so much awareness all the way through, partly because also, like the first caller, my life has gotten incredibly still. Like, nothing is going on here. I got nothing but time on my hands.
And it sounds like some space to be able to continue to be aware of the story coming in again. And that this time you're not falling for it in quite the same way.
Yeah, yeah. And something really beautiful happened last night. I've been sitting with the pain quite a bit, like just really spending a lot of time with it, dissolving pieces, looking at pieces, seeing pieces. And last night I was actually distracted for a little while, catching up on some TV shows. And I started to notice this, like, oh, the pain was gone for a moment.
Yeah.
And then when I looked, it was actually a kind of incredible love was sitting there. And it was like, oh, the other end of worthlessness, when you go all the way through it, is this beautiful love. And it did have, it was just the beginning movements of it, but it did have the sense of, oh, it's okay if externally no one loves me anymore ever again. Because internally there's such a source of love here.
There's only love. Yeah. Yeah, Sherry said recently something that I keep bringing up because I so love it, which is, when everything else is gone, only love remains. It's like, that's not such a bad deal.
Yeah, it's tender though. When you say it, it makes me cry. But there's certainly, watching The Habits, I have a great habit to obsess about the man who just left.
Yeah.
And it just circles round and round and round and round and round and just.
Yeah. And it sounds like in between the circles, you are moving to an experience of compassion for the part of you who goes through this suffering, some distance. Some disidentification, as we might say, and being in that place of, wow, I'm just sitting here with love as my companion.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite beautiful. I've never been able to get this far in before. It's just too painful, and I have to distract. So,
and
the spaciousness.
Can you kind of catch that that's a story?
That's
been really, really, really believable, because it's lots of pain and lots of sensation. But what does too painful mean?
I don't know. It's just conditioning saying don't look.
You suspect? Because it sounds like what actually happens for you, or happened last night anyway, was you've been sitting with it and sitting with it and looking at it and seeing what you see, and then it's gone, and then there's love. that experience of maybe actually moving through that which conditioning has been suggesting is too painful to look at.
Yeah, because it almost feels like that little bit of a suicide call is that. It feels like it's like a little bit of a security encoded around an owie that's like, my job is to never feel this owie. And, you know, if you get near fearing this owie, you know, ultimately we'll send a message to kill the organism before we feel the owie. You know, like it kind of...
Yeah. And it really does kind of move it to a different level when you call it an owie, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Because that's what it has. When I'm looking at it and I'm looking at the worthlessness feelings, it's not about the relationship I just left. It's about my parents and my mom. You know, it's about neglected in moments in childhood. It's about, you know, never getting the love that I needed from my mom, you know.
Yeah, well, and for all of us, it usually goes back to there is something wrong with me, and this proves it.
Mm-hmm. And just noticing this time around that how innocent those situations were for all parties involved.
Yeah, and it didn't have to mean anything like there was anything wrong with you.
Yeah.
That's the way when we're little, that's the way we interpret it.
I think that's part of the noticing the love, though, I got to say, is that because I was watching this little person interpreting that situation as I am not worth loving, brings out, breaks open that compassion in my own heart.
Yeah.
That
you saw
that,
her for how she suffers.
Yeah, and then it was like, because it's me, I was feeling the compassion of, like, the way a mother would to her child. Like, that's the nature of that compassion, because I'm looking and going, oh, you know, oh, poor baby. But then I'm feeling, I'm receiving that love at the same time.
Yes, yeah.
And feeling how precious.
Are actually just one person, or one, they're just one.
Yeah, and that's and it was from that place that I think I started to see there was so much love, preciousness for this adult woman here.
Yeah.
And having that sense of
I bet there was a big shift in the pain at that point.
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting because the habit because for 2 weeks it's been pretty strong pain. So there's definitely walking the dogs on the beach day looking for the pain.
Because
it's habited now. It's like a habit. Like, how can I not feel this pain? I better obsess about this man again. You know, like my thought cycle better obsess about what I'm missing again.
Yeah, it's interesting because isn't that going to sooner or later wind up back in the same pool of pain because he's actually not around?
Yeah, but it's so courageous to step out, isn't it? I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean it in a respectful way.
Well, it sure feels good too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly empowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But when a relationship ends, I think we all naturally think we'll never be loved again.
Yeah.
Because we were taught the love is coming externally.
You found out something different last night.
Yeah, I did.
Super.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely to sit here with you on the phone. I think there's a lot of other people waiting, but I'm grateful for your presence this afternoon.
Well, thank you. I'm very glad you called and glad for the first caller that you called and that you were inspired by her call.
Mm-hmm. And how many more people are sitting on the other side of a broken heart right now.
Yeah. Taking heart from this conversation.
Well, thank you. It's delightful to chat with you.
Thank you, Karen. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Tonight we have the privilege and pleasure and joy of being joined by Melinda from the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Thank you, Michael, and it is a privilege and a pleasure and a joy for me.
Great.
Melinda, we're going to take a quick sponsor break, and then we have two more callers here.
All right.
Oh, three.
Oh,
okay.
Pretty fine.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Melinda, are you ready for the next caller?
I am.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jill from California.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill.
I've never called before.
All right. Well, very glad that you called.
Yeah, I've been nervous. I now know what it's like to sit on hold and listen to the voices tell me to hang up.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. And you managed to stay through it, huh?
Somehow I did.
Congratulations.
I wanted to talk about something that I've been looking at lately. You know, I have several kind of key pieces of conditioning that cycle through, but
mm-hmm.
one of them that's really strong is that keeps coming up is a voice says, you know, well, you can do all this Zen practice and you can be aware, but whatever happens, like if your child dies, and then all of a sudden everything drops, and I'm like, well, yeah, I would never be able to handle that. Nothing could ever prepare me for that, not this practice, not anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's yeah. like what Sherry has said before about, you know, the three or the big things like death, money, kids.
Yep, yep, it will pull out. And it's helpful, I think, to note that it says you.
Yes,
so that
I've noticed that.
It is that outside something.
Right.
Trying to, well, you know, really pushing a button that it believes can make you suffer.
Yeah, it
and
feels so real.
Other, you know, why else would it do it? What's
I know.
The point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to come from out of nowhere too, because what I've noticed is I'll be present, like Janet said, I'll be looking at the colors and I'll be, you know, smelling the jasmine, and all of a sudden, you know, I'll be thinking about what if an accident happens to my child or and he's taken from me, and then all of a sudden, of course, I'm in hell and I'm no longer
yeah.
in the moment.
Yeah.
And it just, but it feels so real because, of course, that's always a real possibility. We're all going to leave the planet at some point.
Yeah.
But there's a voice that says, you'll never survive that. If that happens, you will not survive it.
Yeah. And again, might turn to the voice and say, what is your point? Why are we having this conversation?
Yeah.
It sounds from your description as though the sole reason for the conversation is that you were present. And this is a way that it knows it can yank you away from that.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Boy, it's crafty.
Oh, seriously. Because
mm-hmm.
in fact, none of us has any idea how we're going to respond to what life throws our way.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know. But conditioning would like to make us think that this could happen or that can happen and we won't survive.
Yeah.
So, again, what's the point?
I think part of its point is that it wants me to prepare for that, although I know you can never prepare for something like that, but I think I hear a voice that's saying, well, you need to find a way to be able to handle that when it happens, and this
uh-huh.
isn't it.
And why?
I don't know.
Why do you need to be prepared? You know?
I think it somehow thinks it's protecting me. I think it thinks it's protecting me if I'm prepared
uh-huh.
from the pain of that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Which is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Is that a pain we would want to be protected from?
Right. It's not.
But it really does. I'm just right there with you that it picks something, it throws, you know, it picks something that is a really, really tender, sensitive, vulnerable place for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then just sort of keeps using that to create completely needless suffering.
Yeah. It is needless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how do you work with that when it does happen?
Gosh, I don't know. I think sometimes sometimes I do call upon the mentor, and I do bring myself back to the moment, like, that's not happening right now. What's happening now is, you know, I'm sitting here in my room. He's safe where he is, and I'm present, and I'm happy, and that's what's happening now.
Yeah. Yeah, so just back to the moment, bringing yourself back to the moment, bringing your attention away from the place that this conditioning wants to take you away to.
Yeah.
Pull it back to, well, right now, I'm right here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to share that piece because, you know, it just seems so real when it's happening, and to share it on the phone with you, of course, removes it.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you did, because I'm, you know, there are lots and lots of us who get messages of that kind that you know, it's the same thing. The only point of it is to create a way for us to suffer. And in working with that and seeing your way through it over time, it's just a wonderful practice place, and a place where you get, you know, you really discover more that you're adequate to whatever happens.
Mm-hmm. I'll try that. And your point is, I'll say that to it next time I hear the message.
And see if it can come up with any kind of answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Joe. Glad you called in.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Tonight we have the privilege of being joined by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Melinda, we have two more callers here, and we have about 12 minutes.
Okay, let's talk.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Lakota from Washington.
Hi, Lakota. How are you up there in Washington?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Really excited to be on the phone with you, too. Feeling a lot of anxiety.
Okay. I think probably there are lots of folks out there who share that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure. First-time caller, and it's amazing to me that I called. I'm so happy I did. I've been listening to the show for the last 3 or 4 years. I listen to the archives all the time, and I find them so incredibly helpful. And just the courage and the love that I project on everyone's part, the callers, and you guys running the show, it's just incredible. And there's been a number of times when I've thought, I'd like to do that. That would be a wonderful thing to do sometime.
And you're doing it.
And I'm doing it.
Yeah, congratulations. That's just great.
Yeah, because, for you know, so many times conditioning will kind of talk me into thinking, that's not actually something that you want to do. You don't need to do that. Or it's kind of talk me out of it in that way. And then the times that I've pushed kind of through that, then there's another level of just outright terror.
And somehow this evening you pushed right through that too.
yeah, I kind of felt like I was at a point where I was really tired of getting bullied around by conditioning, and I wanted to kind of prove to myself in a small way that it's not running the show.
Yes, and I would suggest it's not such a small way, but anything that takes on conditioning just up front like that is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. Yep. Oh, well, it's good to be here.
So what else is going on for you up there in Washington?
Well, I just recently moved up here. I took a new job in a new town, kind of left my old job in my old town where everything was really comfortable and I knew a lot of people and felt really kind of supported, and found myself in this new situation where I don't really know anyone, and the new job kind of feels challenging, and found myself identified quite a lot with, I think, a pretty young, kind of scared child.
Uh-huh. That would kind of make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like moving to a new school kind of thing.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And somebody that really feels like now it's really important to kind of put the best foot forward and really really kind of do a good job kind of thing.
So a lot of pressure?
Yep, there's a lot of pressure. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
A lot of expectations, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And
not a lot of room for learning, maybe.
Exactly, which is funny because that's exactly what I project that's what the situation really is kind of asking, is opportunity to learn.
Yeah. So might be a good time to call on the mentor if you're not already doing that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's funny, since I first found out about the practice several years ago, my practice has been really kind of intermittent. I'll start doing it, and I'll be suffering a lot, and then I'll reach towards the practice, and I'll be really committed for a period of time, and then one of two things happens. I either kind of get to a point where it gets so scary and so intense that it's like, oh, if you look any further, it's going to be too much to handle.
Uh-huh.
Or things get a lot better.
Uh-huh.
And then I think, oh, I don't need to do this anymore.
Yeah, so either one of those paths gets you in that place of, well, what practice was that?
Yeah.
I know
I used to
do some, but I can't quite, yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly it. And then at some point I find myself just kind of train wrecked by another big wave of suffering, and practice is nowhere to be found because I left it. But luckily, thankfully, now the kind of a certain amount of suffering returns to the point where it's like, oh man, this is not. I need some support, and then I remember to come back to practice.
Yeah. One of the really, really nifty things is that we can't really completely forget. You know, practice isn't going to go away. We may get, conditioning comes in with stupid dust and makes us forget for a while. But it's really back there somewhere just waiting for us to get to a point, and often it's where we've suffered enough.
Yeah.
Get to a point where we turn our attention back to it and, okay, yeah, I remember. All right. And it's really nice at that point, Lakota, if there can be no beatings about having forgotten.
Oh, thank you for, thanks for that.
Yeah, because we all do. If I could get a show of hands from all the folks listening, there'd probably be lots of hands of, oh, yeah, I know exactly what he means.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We come back and we come back and we come back, and sooner or later we usually stick around.
I can see that happening someday.
Someday.
Yeah, for sure.
But in the meantime,
I feel like it's in there. Like after a certain amount of exposure and just being with the practice, I feel like there was something fundamentally kind of changed.
Mm-hmm.
There was some kind of realization that, okay, this is how this thing works.
Yes.
And if I want to stop suffering, then there's this way to do it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's
on
if
some
I
level,
want to
I've never
because
forgotten that.
It's if I want to because nobody. It's not a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And we will. Many of us get to that point of, okay, I want to, and I know there is a way to do it, and I'll just, you know, connect myself back up with that.
Mm. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. There's a real gentleness in that. I like that.
Yeah, it's so optional, and it's, you know, it's here. It's a little life preserver if we decide that we're in need of a life preserver. We just grab hold again.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And being in a new town, in a new job, without a support system, sounds like a really good time to be, you know, reaching out.
Yep. Yep, it makes sense. That's what I'm doing. I'm reaching out to what I've projected it. A safe place.
Yeah.
A good place to go.
Yeah.
And,
that's great.
And yeah, and it's kind of, and there are kind of the two levels. There's like, there's part, somebody really wants kind of a quick fix, but just a help me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is really difficult.
Yes.
And there's also somebody who is kind of saying, I love the way that the practice feels, and I would like to find a way to kind of strengthen and deepen my commitment to it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it seems like calling tonight was one giant step in that direction.
Yeah.
Getting through the voices and getting through the terror and doing that for yourself and for all the parts of you who suffer.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, well, thank you so much for...
Yeah, and I just wanted to say there's lots of practice opportunities coming out these days from here, and they're all available whenever you're up to that place where you want to take them on.
Yeah, that sounds good. It's like this radio show, for instance. It's another practice opportunity I've known about for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
and well, somehow just never got to, and now I'm here.
Now you're here. And maybe you'll call back again before too long, huh?
Maybe I will.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank
you. I have so much gratitude. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we've had the great privilege of spending time with Melinda and all of our callers.
It has been quite wonderful, and I bet you're going to tell us now that we're out of time.
Yes, and before I tell you that, I'm going to say a big thanks to you, Melinda, all of our callers, and I see a long list of listeners here, and it's wonderful to see.
Oh, that's great, and maybe the person, I think somebody got left on hold. Maybe they'll call in early next time.
Actually, nobody on hold. We're all complete in that sense.
All right, very fine. Thank you, Michael. It's been
thanks,
great.
Melinda. And we'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Good night.
Good night.